You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
some people.
Where do you want to be?
Where you want to be?
What your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a rare disease.
I'm running like a rare disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good day. Hope you're going to get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, will do, and can do. And I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But you know, if it ain't, but it needs to be done, I know you'll get it done, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And that's why we love you, because you're always getting it done. That's right. That's why we love you. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific. But any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to the archives, timeforanawakening.com. At the very top of the page, look for podcasts. Click on that. Then you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled for your pleasure, for your informational pleasure. How about that? Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times I'm going to give are Eastern times. On Mondays, Acres of Diamonds public affairs programming out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8 for Brother Wahad, followed by Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters. It's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening. And then on Saturday, Black Reality Think Tank Weekend Edition at 4 p.m. from 4 to 6. And then Black Reality Think Tank, the Sankofa Elders Council with Brother Alfonso Watkins. That's going to be from 6 to 8. So from 4 to 6, the Weekend Edition, and then from 6 to 8, the Elders Council, Black Reality Think Tank. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then every Monday through Friday, from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., Monday through Friday, it's the Warm Valentine Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. It is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. It's WeBuyBlack.com. Please, brothers and sisters, go online and check all the products out at WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayemba has been taking our people back to the motherland, providing them with a beautiful experience. You need to give him a call at 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429, and see how economically you can put this thing together for yourself and you and your friends or family or whatever, trip of a lifetime. You know, put a down payment on, a $400 deposit, and there's a payment plan. Now, his two trips, because of coronavirus, he had many trips planned for this year. Now, the next upcoming trip that Brother Bomani has planned is South Africa, November 20th through the 30th, for $3,700 per person, double occupancy. And then the following trip he has is Ghana,
going back to Ghana, December 24th through January 5th, 2021, also for $3,700. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see video of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. That's Africa for the Africans. Baba Rinoko Rashidi, my good brother, Dr. Rinoko Rashidi, go to drrinoko.com. drrinoko.com. Go to his website. He has an upcoming trip, October 5th through the 16th, Uganda and Rwanda. Beautiful pictures, beautiful. I mean, the itinerary is down. This is for $4,100. Uganda and Rwanda. Also, too, he has a trip after Uganda and Rwanda, October 5th through the 16th. He has a trip to Kemet, October 22nd through November 4th. October 22nd through November 4th. Go to his website, drrinoko.com. Also, too, you can give Dr. Rinoko a call at 323-803-8663. That's 323-803-8663. That's Dr. Rinoko Rashidi. Habashah Incorporated.org. Go to HabashahIncorporated.org, brothers and sisters. You'll see these brothers and sisters are doing the work. They ain't talking about it. They're being about it. They're doing work here in the States, and they're doing serious work in Ghana. Habashah Incorporated stands for, and their mission is, it's a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. And of course, they got the Kashi Project, where they are building in Ghana. They are, as we speak, they are building in Ghana. The programs that they have here are called Habashah Works. All of these are basically dealing with sustainable agriculture, black to our roots, sustainable seeds, and the golden growers and the urban jobs. So check out HabashahIncorporated.org. HabashahIncorporated.org. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore is open. 7 o'clock. Give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. You know, there have been some bookstores that have been doing very well because at this time of quarantine, people are wanting to get books. And I hope that's you. And I hope that you give Mama Nia a call so she can, because I know she's been closed for quite a while because the mall is closed, but she's open from like 12 to 7. And then on Sunday from 12 to 5. And so that's the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Another bookstore we promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Brother Gazemde Ajamu. The number for Brother Gazemde Ajamu at the Black Dot to see if they have the book that you're looking for. And, of course, they have the red, black, and green shoes. They have T-shirts. So does Mama Nia, her place, T-shirts and greeting cards. Also at the Black Dot, they have a coffee bar now. You can get your Cameroon Boyo, delicious teas, and so forth. And that is, the number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. There is light in the Black Dot. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta. 878 Ralph David Abernathy here in Atlanta. Number to call is 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. That is Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. They also have We Buy Black products. We Buy Black used to have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. Now they're selling their products at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. So you can go pick up those products at We Buy Black. Also, too, they have Afroletics, the brother that made the African-themed design athletic wear. You can go online to check it out at AFR-LETICS.com, Afroletics. The Rebels, the Dogons, the Zulus, the Olmecs, Logan Starseed, the Herus. All of these are in athletic wear. It's really cool. So you can go check that out. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us, their Thursday night broadcast. Tomorrow night, the Us Lifting Night Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. That is the Us Lifting Us ULU broadcast Thursday nights. If you want to call, it's at 9 p.m. 9 p.m. Eastern. If you want to call to listen, or if you want to call to make comments or questions, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics. So as we like to say, family-centered economics. Sanjay-Haiti, go online to sanjay-haiti.org and look at the work that Sister Gabrielle Auraria, Sister Gabby, is doing in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. You must agree that she deserves to be supported. Outstanding work of dealing with health, education, agriculture, entrepreneurship, all that's happening right there. And they definitely deserve to be supported. So go to Sanjay, SONJAY-HAITI.org. Sanjay-HAITI.org. The Akabin Institute, make your check or money order out to Akabin, A-K-O-B-E-N, Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you want to use Cash App or PayPal, put in the dollar sign, YAAM, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, using Cash App or PayPal. Also, too, the 6th Annual Complementarity Conference, Akabin Institute's 6th Annual Complementarity Conference will be Saturday, July 18th from 4 to 8 Eastern Time, from 4 p.m. to 8. And, of course, it's an online program, and it's $10 per person. And I'll give you more details as it comes up, okay? So let's check that out. Check that out. All right. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. June 16th. The eye which sees the smoke will look for the fire. African proverb. It is because of what has happened to virtually every African warrior of worth in this oppressive anti-African reality that we so easily expect the defenders of our dignity and honorable place in the human landscape of time to not speak truth or finally betray their words once they are challenged by agents of the dominant power. We expect them to either be quiet, imprisoned, stringently ostracized, or assassinated. And this is why most who know them, who in their heart of hearts are so proud and respecting of them, hoping that they will win, but themselves not courageous enough to believe in the possibility of liberation because become so surprised and impressed when their heroes and sheroes of African way refuse to stop speaking truth, knowing that they may eventually painfully and immeasurably suffer and die for it. Such emboldened spirits are so unusual in a culture of liars and unprincipled weakness that it causes awe and shock in those who witness it, when in reality, it should be the norm. The norm should be that we fight, we continue to fight, and we never stop.
firm. I uncompromisingly defend the dignity and honor of African people. Affirm, I uncompromisingly defend the dignity and the honor of African people. June 17th. If there is something I don't understand, I begin to read history backwards. Julius Nyerere. Just because two distinct populations exhibit similar collections of qualities out of the total possibilities of human thought and behavior does not mean that these choices were a function of chance. Particular populations make conscious selections out of the range of human possibilities as to what fits them. These selections fully reflect who they are, have always been, and will always be. We must look beyond just being human for causal factors. For if it's just being human were the reason for such choices, then all peoples would fundamentally be the same. We also have to consider the fact that some people find themselves acting in opposition to their nature. They end up thinking and acting against what they are historically or historically has always been. This anomaly must be analyzed exactly for what it is, the consequence of some form of enforced duress. Having been convinced that the way of our ancestors is backward and wrong, we are in a situation which is against our will and where we cannot express ourselves as we truly are. Such a cultural contradiction, having been extended our scores of generations, has led to a state of cultural amnesia where we have come to forget, even violently reject, who we naturally are. Affirm, I read our history backward and forward. Affirm, I read our history backward and forward. The Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Man. My brothers and sisters, have an open mic today. We're going to get a chance to talk about anything you want to talk about. I'll throw some things out there. I know Friday is Juneteenth. That's right. We'll talk about that today. And we'll talk about Juneteenth on Juneteenth with more in depth with my guest, Brother Keel Parker. Brother Keel Parker, educator out of Philadelphia, who's been a guest on this program many times. Many times more, young man. Where should I begin? Oh, I'll tell you what I begin at. Black Lives Matter. Let's begin there. We talked about Black Lives Matter. And we talked about... we talked about how... what Black Lives Matter mean, what is their platform, and so forth. And the reason why I'm going to talk about it today is because of the Supreme Court decision. Because of the Supreme Court decision, that was a victory, truly a victory for Black Lives Matter because of its agenda. And saying that, using, ironically, the 1964 Civil Rights Act signed by Johnson in the presence of Dr. King and Roy Wilkins of the NAACP. What was the brother with the Urban League? Man, see, as you get older, man, you start to, you know, I was trying to take some ginkgo biloba to help my memory. I bet I keep forgetting to take it. I'm like, damn. But the civil rights individuals of that time, and Bayard Rustin was there, a lot of the people around Johnson as he signed the 64 Civil Rights Act, and then, of course, the following year was the 65 Voting Rights Act. You know, I keep thinking about Malcolm. You know, he died February 21st of 65. But he kept saying, if it doesn't take anything to get your rights, then it shouldn't take anything to get mine. You don't have to have special amendments and all this kind of stuff. Bump that.
What you got to say is, henceforth, from this moment on, we are all. And any problems that we had previously, we're going to redress. We're going to redress in a way that makes people whole. This society has never done that because it never has any intentions to do that. Because this society was made and made for European people, made for Caucasian people, made for white people. And the Black Lives Matter movement, with the three sisters developing Black Lives Matter, they should have had some male energy in that, because of course the Black Lives Matter, what they believe, you know, is something that is very tough. He says, we see ourselves as part of the global Black family, and we are aware of the different ways we are impacted or privileged as Black people who exist in different parts of the world. We are guided by the fact that all Black lives matter, regardless of actual or perceived sexual identity, gender expression, economic status, ability, disability, religious beliefs or disbeliefs, immigration status, or if you're local. We must make space for transgender brothers and sisters to participate and lead. We are self-reflective and do the work required to dismantle this gender privilege and uplift Black trans folk, especially trans women, who continue to be disproportionately impacted by trans antagonistic violence. We build a space that affirms Black women and is free from sexism, misogyny, and environments which men are centered. We practice empathy. We engage comrades with the intent to learn about and connect with their context, within their context. We make our space family friendly, enable parents to fully participate with their children. We dismantle the patriarchal practice that requires mothers to work double shifts so that they can mother in private, even as they participate in public justice work. We dispute the Western prescribed nuclear family structure required by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. I'm telling you, you know, when I read this, it really bothers me that Black Lives Matter in dealing with what they believe have no men. They're not addressing the men except in a very obscure way, in a very exclusionary way. We don't need men. That is not African. That might be Black, but it's not African. We foster queer affirming network. We foster a queer affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking, or rather the belief that all in the world are heterosexual unless he or she or they disclose otherwise. We cultivate an intergenerational and communal network free from ageism. We believe that all people, regardless of age, show up with the capacity to lead and learn. We embody and practice justice. I don't know about the word liberation, and peace in our engagements with one another. And so with that decision, the Supreme Court said the 1964 Civil Rights Act should encompass everybody. You should not be able to discriminate against anybody. And you, I ain't got no problem with that. It's just like I said Monday. As it relates to the struggle for African people and African liberation and self-determination and sovereignty, there are no planks. There is no gay plank or focus. We're talking about men and women who are committed. If you're a woman who likes women, that's your damn business. But if you are also a woman, even though you like women, but you also understand that we are Africans and we need to be free and self-determining, and you believe that and wanted to work with that, and your sexual preferences are private to you, that's great. You can come in and work, as far as I'm concerned. But if you want to make an issue, and believe me, the real African flavor is men and women together. It's not this hardcore patriarchal, which of course is European. Homosexuality, for whatever reasons, i.e. evolutionary development, a learned behavior, a genetic behavior, whatever, is out of Europe. Now, they can come with some stuff that says, well, there's a lot of homosexuals in the dynasties in China. There were homosexuals in the in Japan, in the great dynasties in Japan. There was homosexuals in. Let me say this. There is no history, as I said to you the other day. There are arts historians who said, I've studied. I found no homosexuality in these societies. They are now and globally. Because the Europeans have imposed their culture and an influence of their culture on the world. And part of the influence of the culture of Europeans is homosexuality. That's why Barack Obama could go to Africa and say to them, if you don't allow homosexuality, if you incriminate and ostracize and try to eliminate, we will not give you aid for your country. You have to accept homosexuality. I am not homophobic. I'm just like you. You know somebody in your family who's homosexual. You know somebody in your family who maybe has changed or trans from a man to a woman or from a woman to a man. I live here in Atlanta. Atlanta is the American African capital of homosexuality, is the black gay capital. And so, you know, as strong as I am about family, now, you know, we've seen some horrors happen. We've seen Caucasian men who have adopted children, African. I remember distinctively the Caucasian from Duke University. And I guess because he worked at Duke University, he was a professor, I might have had tenure and so forth, he could easily adopt these children. And he molested them. He sexually abused them. You know, today on the news, they had a family, an adoptive family, this Caucasian couple, and they adopt some American Africans. Might it be Africans? I'm not sure. But anyway, what it was that they had a little parade with their wagons and so forth. Actually, it was not a parade. It was a demonstration because they were yelling, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. And then they had a stand where you could buy some refreshments and so forth. So they raised some money, you know. The sound of the feature began to kind of like mess up, and so we didn't get the flavor of what the Caucasian and his wife were saying, and it looked like he was kind of breaking up, looking at what happened to George Floyd, you know. So, you know, there's no doubt about, for me, I believe that, you know, I remember a sister, she, and I'm surprised, I believe she might have been discouraged from trying to adopt those two Caucasian kids. But I believe, from where I read the article, that she adopted them, and I can't remember what state. You know, that's, of course, not the norm. That is an way exception, because most, in fact, I bet it wasn't what Caucasians are really looking for, because, you know, Caucasians, they're trying to find a young child, blonde. I'm serious, you know, to meet these particular descriptions. Those are the hardest and those are the most expensive adoptions. So if you go to an adoption agency and you want a blonde, you know, da 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 da, it's going to cost you. But hey, we got some of these black kids back here. Want one of these black kids? No? Oh, okay then. Well, we'll let you know when we find one of them blondes. Yeah. But we should adopt our children. In fact, it should not be that our children should be up for adoption. Families should take them in. It is something that we have done, but of course we live in America. And America's about individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. So many times a child from a particular family, and of course families have a myriad of problems, particularly with substance abuse, alcoholism, drug addiction, and so forth, mental illness. And so sometimes the family does not want to deal with a child who might have been afflicted in that way because of the parent. And so they'd rather for that child to be institutionalized or adopted by another family. You know, I come on this radio program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And my purpose is to awaken us. My purpose is to put something on our minds to get us to think. To get us to think like Africans. Not as black people, but as Africans. Who think independently. Who think about self-determination. Who really truly want to be liberated. And understand how important it would be for us to be sovereign. For us to control our land, control our resources. I want to play something for you. Because, you know, you're dealing with Black Lives Matter. You know, we're trying to our best to be an African people. An African people who love ourselves, each other, and who are doing all that we can to work with one another. This is a 6-minute piece. And for us Africans who believe, who understand, it's our time. The motto of this program is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. You remember, I think that was Barack's first run in 08, that P. Diddy or whoever, Puff Daddy or Sean Diddy Combs, whatever, put out a piece, him and his other people, vote or die. Vote or die. You should probably remember that, vote or die. No, unify or die, because that's real. Because if we don't unify, we are truly going to die. Because the purpose of those who run this world, the Europeans, the Caucasians, the white folks, who are controlling damn near every facet of life, The purpose is to make sure that we are suppressed. When you have a people who are dying, they are dying. They are experiencing negative population growth. For every two that are born, for every two that die, only one is born. And so they must control. They even have honorary Caucasians like the Japanese and anybody else that they would like to make an honorary so their numbers can be what it is. So I want to play this right quick. This, because this sums it up for me. I'm going to play it. I'm going to keep this. This is a good piece.
Africa, it's your turn. You have a $7 trillion economy represented by 54 countries and 1.3 billion people with an average age of just 18 years. Africa, it's your turn. Half of the gold ever mined on Earth comes from your womb. You are the world's largest platinum producer. You have the world's second largest diamond reserves. And you have enough minerals to feed the whole world. Africa, it's your turn. You host 6 of the 10 fastest growing economies in the world. You will have a labor force of over 1 billion workers by the year 2030, bigger than any other continent. You will be the fastest urbanizing continent from 2020 to 2050. Africa, it's your turn. You have 60% of the world's unfarmed arable land, 30% of the world's natural resources, and 12% of the world's oil. Africa, it's your turn. Because you are the world's youngest population by over 10 years, you will soon have the world's fastest growing education sector. Now, what does that mean? It means you are training the world's biggest labor force, building the world's fastest growing real estate industry, developing the world's most robust industrial movement, clothing the world's fastest growing fashion industry, and producing food for the world's biggest FMCG sector. Africa, it's your turn. With the fourth industrial revolution spreading like a wildfire throughout the continent, Africa is the world's fastest growing online community. In 2013, you had 167 million internet users. This number is expected to be over 600 million people by 2025 and over 1 billion people by year 2035. More than half of Africa's population will be online by year 2030. This will translate to accelerated economic growth in other sectors as digital transformation spreads rapidly across all industries. In 2020, Africa is already producing mobile apps, electric buses, drones, artificial intelligence technologies, and smart services. Africa, it's your turn. It's your turn to build. It's your turn to innovate. It's your turn to manufacture and to create. It's your turn to believe in your own greatness, to buy your own products, to export more than you import, to produce more than you consume. Africa, it's your turn. It's your turn to lead and not to follow, to trade by your own terms, to play by your own rules, to create your own solutions that will solve your own problems. Africa, it's your turn to write your own history, to tell your own stories in your own languages and for your own descendants. Africa, it's your turn to fill stadiums for your own musicians, to download their songs and compositions by the millions, to support your own sports teams and wear their jerseys more frequently than you wear those from overseas. Africa, it's your turn to fund your own movies and give them budgets they can work with so they will write scripts that inspire dreams and show your teens possibilities that exist beyond their current realities. Africa, it's your turn to reward your own excellence, to encourage your own risk takers, and to help them rise from their failures. To create your own platforms where greatness can be mass-produced. Africa, Africa, it's your turn to see, to pursue, and to achieve. To unite, to partner, and to trade beyond regional borders. To believe in each other more than another. To stand for Africa, and to make her prosper. Africa, it's your turn.
That was written and produced for African Liberation Day, May 25th of this year. I'm going to tell you what, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll talk about what you just heard and what it was about, African Liberation Day, as opposed to Juneteenth Day. I'm not doing it either or. What I want to make clear is that the day that needs to be celebrated and commemorated is not Juneteenth Day because they got 2.5 more years of work out our ass. No, it is African Liberation Day. You can definitely acknowledge Juneteenth when the final brothers got the word, final brothers and sisters got the word in Galveston, Texas. Because you had tons of Caucasians who wanted to maintain the enslavement of African people who left many southern states and went west to Texas because they could still keep us enslaved, keep us captive. So we're going to talk about that. You can join the conversation, you know. 215-490-9832. Join this conversation because we want to talk about this. It's open mic day. And like I said, me and Brother Akil Parker, we're going to talk about Juneteenth Day and in more depth. And, you know, so we're going to take this break and we'll be right back. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
I may be just a foolish dreamer, but I don't care. 'Cause I know my happiness is waiting out there somewhere. I'm searching for that silver lining, horizons that I've never seen. Oh, I'd like to take just a moment and dream my dream. And walk amongst the stars at night. I'd like to know the taste of honey in my life. In my life. Well, I've shed so many pains, and I've played so many games. I like to fly far
You're listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give at Eastern times. On Mondays, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, followed by Conversation Reparations for Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it is time for an awakening. On Saturdays, Black Reality Think Tank, weekend edition from 4 to 6, followed by Black Reality Think Tank, the Sankofa Circle of Elders, the Elders Council. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Sunday at 7 p.m. And then every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warm Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Have a open mic forum or open forum or whatever you want to call it that you can call in and express yourself and dealing with a few subjects, dealing with talking about Black Lives Matter and the Supreme Court victory for people who espouse homosexuality. And let me say this. I say nobody should be discriminated against. So from the Supreme Court using the 1964 Civil Rights Act, I think it's great. That's their business. That's their business. And if a person is a homosexual and he got a job or she got a job and they didn't say they were homosexual, that is not the application. He didn't come in or she didn't come in looking butch. He didn't come in looking, no. They just like a regular person. But their sexual preference is the same sex. And if it's not known, they should be hired and promoted and so forth. But if it's known, that should not preclude them. They should still maintain being hired and promoted if they are qualified to do so. What I'm saying is nothing should restrict them.
but I'm not. So that puts me in a position of not being a proponent or opponent of homosexuality. I am just pro-family. I am pro-African family. We need each other. The reason why we don't have good community life is because we don't have good family life. We need brothers to step up to be men and to take care of their families. We need sisters to step up and be women and want to hold a family together. I ain't saying for you to placate to anybody or bow down to anybody. But we need strong men and women together raising children to be who they are as African children. Let them know their history and their and why they are going to school, whatever school they go to. Because as a foundation, they know who they are culturally. They know who they are historically. And so whatever school they go to, if it is a Caucasian school, whatever, suburban, parochial, public, private, whatever, nothing could tell them otherwise. Nothing could make them believe otherwise, no matter what is in their history books. And when they graduate and get that diploma, they don't understand that that's only because the society says you have to have it. So I gave them what they wanted. I gave them the information that they requested. I have my diploma. I'm moving on. I may even go to ACBU, and many of the ACBUs are just mirrors of Caucasian colleges, so it doesn't make a difference. But I say the ACBUs because that's jobs for us. I wish the ACBUs, and maybe some are, I don't know, maybe a little bit more progressive. By progressive, I mean speak to the issues that are happening with African people. I know some were afraid to do so because of the funding that they're requesting from philanthropy, which is Caucasians and corporations. You know, to me, if Donald Trump has been the biggest supporter of black, I have a problem with that. I have a problem with black colleges. I mean, I know you want to take the money. I mean, you're willing to take the money from whoever, as long as that person has some legitimacy, I guess. I don't know. You know, would you take money from a social enough drug dealer who's amassed millions in because of dealing drugs? This is America. Which brings me to an article. It's not an article. It was in Facebook. Sister Yah put this out. Yah Baruti put this out. You know, centered. We got to be centered. Building African realities. You know, we got to be centered. And Sister Yah put this out. Do not be mistaken. Do not let the confusion of your reason take you beyond the truth of where we are and what haunts this place. They say that the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. We should not be so easily fooled. There is evil here, immeasurable evil. And that evil has come to lay an absolute claim of dominion on this world and domination on this world. There's a remarkable record of this. Like good, evil has ancestors. Evil is rewarded in evil places and has the historical evidence and all around us today continue to demonstrate European society is an evil social organization. Europeans have worked very hard to carve out a space where they can comfortably be their God-forsaken selves. This is the most evident in their repeated invasions of other domains. In those barbaric atrocities, they have murdered or otherwise forced any and everyone in these places to be to submit to European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy. So they submit to the white supremacist idea. From inception, the seed to the furthest branches. From this inception to the seed of the furthest branches, their evolution reveals an evil genius at work. People use all forms of euphemisms to window dress evil, a most apt term. But there is no more accurate description of Urugu's mind and way of thinking and speaking and doing. No matter what name we call it, what angle we look at it, what position or how deeply we find ourselves entwined within its deadly coil, it all boils down to evil. We only stay confused or experience being repeatedly blindsided and shocked about the immorality and unethicalness of the order in the chaos about us when we forget that evil rewards evil. It promotes and sanctions it. Goodness is not a part of the equation, except in service of evil ends. There are no mistakes, no inadvertent acts, no contradictions. This is one of the fundamental truths about which we should never become confused. Within evil and evil environments, evil triumphs. That is its domain, where it rules regardless of delusion of peace and love. In an evil place, evil people thrive. Evil is rewarded. Evil spirits congregate and coalesce. Those who do wrong prosper. I repeat, those who do wrong, thievery, lying, cheating, and stealing. See, they wanted you to believe that the men, mostly, women inherited, these men were honorable men. These industrialists, these people who are part of now the 1%, who run damn near everything on the planet, who control the predominance of resources on the planet. Those who do wrong prosper. The more wrong, the greater the prosperity. In evil places, good people are punished and sacrificed for the good of evil. Sister Yah, and like I said, we don't want to believe that, you know? We don't want to believe that because we have been given a theology by them. And even if we look at the theology, look how the entity they believe that is God, Jesus Christ, how he was treated. And I took a friend of mine, a good friend, Cynthia. We went to the theater to see the Passion of Christ. And Mel Gibson's Passion of Christ. And, you know, I don't know if you've seen it or not or whatever, but when he's getting that beat down, when he's carrying the cross on that trek to be crucified, it's just got to be sickening. I mean, it constantly is just unbelievable that a person could be beaten and whipped that badly and still carry that wooden cross. Even when the so-called Good Samaritan carried the cross for him for a while, who was supposed to be an African, you know, which is apropos for the story. Because this theology that they have imposed upon us is a detriment to us. This theology that they have imposed upon us prevents us from uniting. Because this theology that they've imposed upon us speaks to you as an individual. It doesn't speak to us collectively. That's the other trick about the theology that they've imposed, Christianity. It's an individualistic religion, just like their system. Their system promotes individualism. See, that's the trick, because you think that, you know, well, I'm going to get mine. I don't care about damn how bad the system is. I know I can get mine. I know what I have to do. And I don't give a damn about anybody else. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed and highly favored. Oh, yeah. You're blessed and highly favored. Your damn home, your neighborhood, your people are going to hell, are suffering. But you are blessed and highly favored because you believe in Jesus. And that's all you got to do. That's all you got to do is believe in Jesus, that Jesus died for your sins, made that sacrifice, and that Jesus is God. That's all you got to do. You can go on about your life. You can lie, cheat, steal, do whatever. And you'll still go to heaven because you believe in Jesus. Because by your nature, you are a sinner. By your nature. And of course, it's a battle between Jesus and God and the devil for your soul. And that's easily dealt with because at the end of your evil and wrongdoings, forgive me, God, for I have sinned. If you're Catholic, you go to confessions. That's why in the formation of the church, when Constantine, before he had the Nicene Conference of 325, before 325 years before the Christian era started, in Greece, he called the council of all this emerging new religion of Christianity to come to Rome. And we are going to set and eliminate whatever confusion is there. We're going to say these are the doctrines, these are the canons, this is this, and this is that. See, he had killed his son. And he was seeking some refuge from the religion of Rome, of Greece at the time. And of course, they said, we ain't gonna G for that. You killed, you murdered, you know. Mm-mm. And so, but the Christians said, hey, you can be forgiven, you know, push us, put us out there. And of course, that's what he did. In the vision of the cross, he said, through this we will conquer. Through the cross, we will conquer. And from that time, the theology of Christianity became more and more Caucasian. We have a caller here, 646. 646. Good afternoon. Oh,
what's going on, bro? You delving into Sky Daddyism today?
No, I'm all around the place today. I talked about the Supreme Court ruling that was in favor of Black Lives Matter. If Black Lives Matter really want to have it,
wasn't in favor of Black Lives Matter. It was in favor of the gay mafia not being
discriminated against.
The job.
So yeah, that's, right.
I can't equate that with Black Lives.
Why not?
We gotta be clear.
Why not?
Because Black Lives Movement, even though we know is back and it's the front for the gay mafia.
Then there you still, go. Then there you go.
The Black Lives and the importance of Black Lives that doesn't have the words monkey man, twisted sister.
Well, listen, Jay, hold on now.
Let's be clear. No, you got to be
obviously,
fair.
Obviously, they're not going to have those euphemisms. But the bottom line is, based upon what they say, what we believe, the information that I read earlier today and I read on Monday clearly states that they're promoting transgender, queer, homosexuality, in fact, a different arrangement in family. They don't even talk about men. So let me just say this. That ruling yesterday was saying by the Supreme Court that the 1964 Civil Rights Act about anti-discrimination is for everybody. It is not just for African-American Africans, Latinos, indigenous people or Native Americans or Asians. It's for homosexuals, transgender, and so forth. So that protects everybody. So
that's what happened when you allow the monkey man to get on something that was specifically genderized for you and co-opted. So I can't be mad at monkey men for getting power and the manner in which they do it. I get mad at us for allowing the monkey man to co-opt our situation and go forward with an agenda that they could use the word Black Lives Matter as the template for their struggle or agenda. That shows our ignorance and our stupidity, our weakness, and our punkism. Because there's no way you're supposed to be able to use black to identify or even make one say the words that you say it with monkey manism, homosexuality, with gay and lesbianism. What the hell does those words have in their agenda black? Where the word black at and lesbian, bisexual, transgender, I don't even know what the other letters mean. So
right, there's a
where
there's
word a black at.
Right, there's a lot of labels in that. And of course, some American Africans are also identified with those particular labels.
But Oshi, you're not answering the question. Where is the word black in that? Is black in any of that?
Let me just say this, because I'm not a great defender of black, of using black to describe us. In fact, I'm adamant against it. But if, for the sake of this conversation, Jay, no, it is not. But because the issue that the sister who I read about Monday, when she saw the Trayvon Martin situation, and they're always killing us, our lives matter. We matter. Black lives matter. And so they came up and, I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Yeah, but your premise is wrong, bro.
What's wrong?
You cannot equate black. You cannot equate a law that was passed or put in place that dealt with black people or even African people or whatever, and then over a 40, 50-year period of time, now push that aside and equate it with monkey manism and twisted sister. Why do you not get that?
Let me say this again. Let me say this again, Jay. I'm saying to you, they have. That agenda has co-opted. If we would have talked about Black Lives Matter about 30 years ago, because we are getting killed as much then as we are today. The deal today is that a lot of times we can see it. And we can actually see it happening because everybody has a camera in their pocket. On their person.
Hold on one second. Maybe you'll get this. If you just said 30 years ago, we had a movement called Black Lives Matter. Okay? So when you would be talking about Black Lives Matter, even if you had Monkey Men and Twisted Sisters involved, it would strictly be a movement of Black Lives Matter.
There you go, Jay. Now you get Jay, hold on. Jay.
Jay,
now you get what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. They co-opted it. They took it.
You're equating it with LGBTQ. It can't be in the equation. You can't separate Black Lives Matter from LGBTQ and make it LGBTQ the dominant force of the argument,
okay,
because the word Black Lives Matter stands out in the forefront.
And see, what we're saying, we're both saying the same thing, Jay. I'm saying they cooperated. I'm saying they're using, under the disguise of Black Lives Matter, a homosexual agenda, a transgender agenda. You are right. I am right. 30 years ago, if we said that back then, or we said that in the 60s, 50 years ago, that our lives matter, Black Lives Matter, just saying, what do we want? Justice or no justice, no peace. Our lives matter, and being adamant about it and then getting others, it wouldn't have been co-opted. Believe me, not back then. But because it was started today and all of this stuff, and it was so loose, it was just a slogan. It's so loose. In fact, when you see the movement globally or you see the movement locally where you are, has anybody jumped up front as a spokesperson? There are some people who are ahead of Black Lives Matter in different cities. That person who is in charge of or the chair of or something like that. But basically, in this whole movement, when you see the mobilization, I went over to the Wendy's where Brother Raynard was killed. And they burnt the Wendy's down where the brother was in the fast food line, fell asleep. Cop knocked on the window, got him out. They were talking for about 10 or 15 minutes. Very serious, very clear. And then when he took the breathalyzer and he failed. And listen, he just failed. It wasn't way over. He wasn't like real, real drunk. He just failed. And to me, I agree with the kind of policing that should take place where you kind of, you know, solve situations instead of exacerbate them. You try to find ways. See, the idea, particularly in major cities, is about money. So we need you to make these arrests. And you know for a fact, Jay, New York has been doing that for decades. They got a quota to get Black and brown people.
They got a quota on traffic tickets. They had a quota on arresting Black people. That's more undercover now because they got caught and, you know,
right,
people were recording their sergeant,
right,
when I'm putting it out. But now, you know, they just use the ticket quota in regards to cars and things of that nature.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I mean, that whole situation with the brother who was killed in Atlanta was just that's totally ridiculous. Because how do you go from 30 minutes of basic civil conversation to then just because you got a little beat up or the person got away from you that you now have to shoot him in the back? Because I just look at it this way. What if he didn't have the taser in his hand? Would he have still shot him in the back?
Probably.
Because he couldn't catch him?
Probably.
I think he would.
Yeah.
I think he would. I'm not even doubting that.
Yeah.
But it's just the depravity of one's life that you would either kill somebody like that. Now, mind you, remember Walter Scott? That happened to Walter Scott.
Yeah.
They tried,
yes,
to frame the narrative.
Yes.
And luckily, the only way that he got put in the situation that he got put into was somebody videotaped him. But
exactly.
Check this out. You don't forget.
Exactly.
Don't forget. He was acquitted or was a hung jury. And the only reason he went to jail was because of federal charges. He knew he probably couldn't beat the federal charges because that's a whole different animal. But when you look at this case here, and people are not really talking about it, but people have shown that the police officer, before the guy even turned around to point the taser at him, had already dropped his taser and was going for his gun. So in essence, he was basically going to shoot him anyway, the way it looks.
Yeah.
But, you know, this whole thing is, how is the perception in the narrative going to be put forward? Now, I will say this. With all of the protesting that's going on, they got to be real careful with the narrative. But I'm predicting that he'll get off. I'm predicting he'll get off. And the only way he may get caught out there is if Fredo don't win re-election and Biden gets in and put in a new AG, and, you know, then they'll just get him on federal charges, because that was not deemed a dangerous weapon, and they'll probably get him for the private difference.
Well,
right.
Well, one officer has been fired, and the other officer is on leave.
The one officer that was fired, Ochi, if he's acquitted, I bet you a dollar to a donut, he get his job back with back pay, because they fired him too quickly.
Let me say this. I don't. So we'll talk about it, okay. And so I can win this bet. Because he'll still be fired. He may not be in prison.
He's in history. Because it done happened numerous times. Now, Atlanta may be different. But I know, they'll tell you, other callers will tell you that in their state, that it's done happened with numerous of cops who have been fired through the arbitration.
Let me say this. Okay, let me say this to you. Let me say this to you. That was previous, because what's been happening in the last number of years is that those officers, the firing has been upheld. They weren't prosecuted. They weren't in prison, but the firing has been upheld. And so what do they do? What do they do, Jay? They go where? To another place to be what? A police officer. Same thing would happen to the dude with Tamir Rice. You've seen Tamir Rice's situation. You see Tamir Rice in the park. You see that a cop rolling up. And as soon as that dude got out the door, he opened up and started firing right away. He was fired. He wasn't prosecuted. He got a job with another department. So the firing in itself will be upheld. But
I saw a couple of cases that I don't read in the last month or two where the cop done got his job back. So, I mean, it depends, honestly, on what state it is and what type of pushback one is given. But the reality is, you know, there's a movement going on now that I believe is co-opted. And I believe in the end, black folks ain't going to get nothing. And it's going to be back to business as usual. It's just, you know, the dynamics, and I tell it to anybody, white folks are in a suffrage position right now. Their position in the country is at a peril. They don't know if there's going to be jobs for them. They don't know how they're going to move forward and all of that. And, I mean, you know, like I was talking with a good friend of mine last night, like he was saying, it's now all about you having your kids get involved with STEM technology. That right there is the divider. That right there is the equal divider in our community, and it could be used if done rightly, because that's one of the few things, in a sense, that's colorblindism. You know what I mean? So, I mean, we just have
let me say this. There is no colorblindism in this country, because those who run the country. Now, understand that as this reopening is starting to happen, some jobs that were stopped will not be coming back, and there will be other jobs. And I agree with you that anybody who has IT or, you know, other technical things in terms of computers and so forth, that's going to be a plus. But also to remember, Jay, that it is easier for a Caucasian high school dropout to get a job than it might be for a brother or sister, particularly a brother, with a college degree. to get a job. They are job givers. They are job givers. We are job seekers. And who we seek jobs from can't stand our ass.
That's it. Preach.
You know?
Let the church say amen.
Hey.
Oh, amen. Church, stand up and say amen. The Yerugal have no love for you.
No.
Hallelujah.
And, no.
You know, the reality is we don't realize that because we constantly pushing to be a part of his system
instead
of building our own. I mean, come on. At what point in time do you just say, I want my own sugar, honey, iced tea?
Right.
You know, I mean, we have the skill, we have the resources, we have the talent, we have what it takes to do whatever needs to be done.
We have everything we need.
We want to be on the tit of the den.
Right.
How with the den?
We have everything we need except the right mind. That's
the
our problem.
Mind,
we don't have the mind.
The African mind.
Yep.
Imagine if we put African spirituality in front of Sky Daddyism. Imagine if we identified the Sky Daddy as a righteous black man with woolly white hair or whatever woolly black hair. I prefer the woolly black hair myself because, you know, I'm just like, yo, let's keep it gangster. But, I mean, imagine if we taught our children, imagine if we just made the narrative of the Sky Daddy as black. You know what I mean?
Well,
it would just probably, in a sense, change the minds of some people. I mean, remember what happened with Good Times, the time, you know, they had that episode about Black Jesus.
Right.
I mean, you know, we as a people have to get to the point in our minds that the Yoruba is your enemy. If you don't understand that, you don't understand nothing. Unfortunately, you know, that's what the deal is. You know, today, I don't know if you're going to get the chance to listen to the Carl Nelson show. But that Negro, that suffering, sick Negro, Bakari Sellers is going to be on Carl's show.
Bakari, is he?
Yes, and you know I'm going to have to call him up and call him a punk. I just have to.
For crying on TV?
Yeah, you know I'm going to have to call him on that. I can't let the man get away with that and then come on and talk about we got to vote for the Democratic Party and all of that. I mean, the narrative that you don't put forward is you're a chump. You're always going to be seen, in my eyes, now as a chump. You don't have to get on TV and cry about nothing. You're supposed to be a warrior. Warriors don't get on TV and cry. That's you know, but hey, I got to do what I got to do because ain't nobody else going to challenge them about it, and ain't nobody else going to chastise them. Now, maybe Carl will let me, and maybe Carl won't, but I got to do it. The point of the matter is we have to take a principled stand on certain things, and punkism is not one of those things. But, you know, he supports the LGBTQ and all that other. So whenever you tell me you support the Freak Nation, I'm like questioning what you're really about. But then again, we've been programmed to question the Freak Nation. Always remember, Puff the Magic Negro Obama was not for same-sex marriage when he first went into office. And what happened? They got his ass.
Also, too, man, I mentioned it earlier in the program. Also, I mentioned earlier in the program when he went to Africa, he told them, "Your aid is contingent upon you accepting homosexuality."
You remember that? I remember that.
Yes.
In the black community, for a short period of time, got into a little uproar over it, and then what happened? Oh, Messiah don't talk. Messiah says this is the direction that we're supposed to take. Are we supposed to follow through with the Messiah's wishes?
Yeah.
And what happened? The Negroes complicitated to it. And now where they are, you can't even be a strong African without getting in trouble for it. So we always allow these people to punctify us. You know what I mean? I remember when Perm Daddy wasn't for it. Now Perm Daddy is a supporter of it. You know, so, I mean, we as a people are just insane when it comes to certain things. You know, you don't let nobody change your square.
No.
Stand on your square. It's
What we fail to understand is that for so long, the information, the education, and everything that is put into our minds, what we see on the tell-eye vision, what we hear on radio, what we see in newspapers and magazines and books and so forth, have had a deep, profound impact on the African psyche to make us hate to be African. Everything that you see on TV in these movies, you are ashamed to be African. You're ashamed to stand on your own special truths. And then you believe whatever they want to promote, and you believe it. And then, of course, the theology. You said it earlier. I distinctively remember that episode from Good Times. You know, Black Jesus. I remember little short piece that Dr. Clark, the child who played at Christ Black, that Wesley Snipes and them produced. Dr. King's daughter, Yolanda King, is in it's a half hour piece. You can go online. You can go to YouTube. The Child Who Painted Christ Black. That was Dr. John Henry Clark's piece. You know, the bottom line is that this is theirs. This is Europeans. And I know we have strived so hard to make them respect our humanity, to make them look at what they have done to us and respect our humanity. They're not going to do it. They haven't done it. They are not doing it right now. And they sure in hell ain't going to do it. But yet we keep holding out hope. We keep praying. We keep marching. We keep voting. We keep all those things that we are led to believe that will change the dynamics. This is going to be very deep because of this pandemic and how the recovery will be and who gets what. It's going to be deep. I think that this is the biggest time and the best time for us to push for African sovereignty, for us to push for Pan-Africanism, for us to push for that ideology to come into fruition, and for us to embrace it and get ready to get our asses up out of here. For those who want to go, let's go. For those who want to stay, you stay. I would hope for those who stay.
Negroes are on remote control. Oh, Negroes are too much on remote control. They don't have the ability to get out, as one would say. They can't separate what's being done to them in a large degree, and it's tragic.
Well, you know, because why? What holds us in this position is fear. The acronym false evidence appearing real. But if fear is the grip that keeps us in this position, the fear. And obviously to some people, it's legitimate when you look at what they will do, any and everything of what they will do to maintain their positions of dominance and control. Yes, they will kill you. No, yes, they will kill you because they're already doing it. They are killing us. They are killing us. Openly.
They ever go stop?
No, they'll never stop.
Do they have reason to? Have you given them reason to stop? Have you done anything to make sure that they do stop? No, you just go along with it. At some point in time, you got to just throw your hands up in the air and say, the hell with it. Let's get it on and pop it.
Well, that's, you know, once again, there's right? That fear. See, to me, the battle with Caucasians is, for me, is eliminating them from our mind. It is not a physical thing because they have the armament and the weaponry to blow this planet up. That's why they're the big bully on the planet. That's why they dominate the planet, because of their superior weaponry. The ability to one person can go into an auditorium or even an arena and kill hundreds of people. Just like that Caucasian did in Vegas. Busted the window out.
What do you think of what's going on with India and China right now?
Oh, but for the little border dispute? Oh, I don't know. They may come to some kind of a settlement. But, you know, of course, India is a democracy tied to Europe and tied to the United States. And of course, China is who and what they are. They'll come to some kind of settlement on that, just like the other border disputes of Pakistan and India and China and Kathmandu, Nepal, China and Nepal. And I'm quite sure the other border disputes. There are definitely some border disputes in Africa because of the European drawing up the borders that you see on a map. Those maps, when you see a political map and you see boundaries and so forth, they were not drawn by Africans. They were drawn by Europeans. It was part of the Berlin Conference when they carved up Africa like a cake, you know. So I think that eventually what's going to happen is that they'll settle that dispute. Although, based upon what I read, the Chinese kicked them Indians' ass, you know. You know. And it wasn't weaponry. They were just like that. Sounds like they were out there fist fighting, man. They killed about.
That was the good thing. You know, that's what real men do. They throw with the hand.
Yeah.
That's the way I was brought up.
Well,
all his guns and knives play. That was something that, you know, the punks. Because their daddies, whatever, wasn't teaching them how to throw with their hands. So it's beautiful to see the Indians and the Chinese going into a swimming, using hands and clubs and all
hand-to-hand
that.
Hand-to-hand combat, you know, huh?
And not guns. That's what you're talking about. That takes it to a whole other level. Because you know both of them are nuclear ready. I mean, yeah. I think about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What if you get a situation where they say they really want to pop off? Now, let's be clear about something. Be very, very clear about this. If China and India drop nuclear bombs, America's shooting off theirs. Just off of their punk panic position. That's how we are. A punk nation.
Let me say this to you, Jay. If any country that has nuclear weapons and one country fires on another that also has them, the retaliation will be there. And those who side with one country or the other, the retaliation will be there. It's almost like, you know, it's a domino. And it speaks to the end of humanity. Not the end of the planet, because the planet will eventually correct itself. We see that with the pandemic. The planet was correcting itself. The fact that their human beings had to stay inside and isolate and so forth. The air in some small cities, Mexico City, you know, and other cities cleared up to the point where you can see the skyline. You can see mountain ranges. The water cleared up, you know. But if one country lets them go, those who got them, they letting them go. And it's going to be detrimental to human life on the planet. And a lot of animal life as well. But eventually, I seen this piece one time where, I'm not sure if it was Discovery Channel, one of those channels talking about what if there were no humans. And it showed how things would be greened over in hundreds of years, how even metal would rust and how over a period of time things would start to crumble. Basically what I'm saying is that foliage would take over the planet. You know, vines and so forth, and maybe even flowers would grow here and there. You never know. And maybe some other types of animals would evolve. But I'm saying if human beings, and obviously, if one thing that human beings can do, and it's adversely, it can affect all other human beings. You could be the most righteous group of people, you know. Maybe you believe in divine intervention and somehow you think that you're going to be raptured and saved. That if another group of human beings start letting bombs go, nuclear weapons go, that it will save you. Okay. I hope that's, you know, that's your belief. But the reality is the environment will be so caustic. And you see that a lot in Europeans' movies, in their games, you know, these video games. It's apocalyptic. It's very, you know, what is that word? It'll come to me once again. You know, when you're looking at the planet and you're looking at the environment, I mean, just like a number of movies that you probably have that were out, you know, the one with Denzel when he got to get that Book of Eli, you know, or Mad Max, you know, the other one was about water. Waters, I mean, there's no more precious commodity on this planet for human beings and life itself than clean water. Nothing. You can live without food for a while, but you can't live without water. That's why the Caucasian who wanted to privatize water, I mean, I wanted to beat his ass. About privatized water. Water is essential for human life. Water is essential for life itself. And it even bothers me that, you know, that you can sell water, that water as a selling point started happening about 40 years ago. I remember Perrier water. Like, damn, what is this? And why does it cost at the bar? Why is it costing like $3 for a little tiny ass bottle of water? And then you've seen all these bottled water companies come up. And some of them would be in their house, tapping it at the kitchen sink, and then bottling it and selling and saying it's spring water or it's mineral water.
Yeah, but they do charge you for water.
Oh, of course they do. They charge you for the water usage, for the piping and this and that. You're right. I seen a water bill from when I was a kid, from the house we moved into in 1967. The water bill was like, what, $4? You know?
What is it now? It's crazy.
About 300 something.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, that's quarterly.
Yeah.
But you know, for some places, it's not quarterly.
Yep.
The whole thing is everything they would like to privatize. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, you know, people don't understand what privatization is, and people don't understand what's in their best interest. Prime example, how do the people in Kentucky allow this piece of crap, Mitch McConnell, to continuously get back in office?
It's crazy. I mean, it's ridiculous.
He's the worst, but, yeah. You know, he's not hurting black people on the level that he's hurting his own, because there ain't that many niggas in Kentucky to really, you know, deal on that level to whereas, you know, the Appalachians and all of that
but
poor
still,
white trash.
But still, that's the point,
you know
though.
I mean?
But still,
many
but,
poor white trash there,
right.
And they just constantly go against what's their best interest. Now, you know, I'm not a fan of no pork chop chicken eating preachers, but I must say this, and I'll tell anybody, I'm a fan of Reverend William Barber, even though we got the same last name. I'm still a fan because, you know, other than hanging out with your rules, think what he's talking about. I mean, in all practicality,
what he thinks
is the way the country should be.
Well, William Barber is straight out of the civil rights era. He's straight out
right.
of it, no doubt. I mean, marching, hymns, and so forth, Kumbaya, he's straight out of that, you know. So, but the reality is this. We only got a couple of minutes. I appreciate you hanging on, Jay.
Well, hold on, Brother O.
Okay.
And we'll definitely wrap on Friday. And listen, leave the gay mafia out of anything and everything black, Brother Hotep.
Hotep, Jay. Yeah, I'll be talking about Juneteenth Day because it's going to be Juneteenth Day. And my guest will be Brother Kiel Parker. We're going to talk about Juneteenth Day and how I feel about it. I mean, it's not that I hate Juneteenth Day. I don't. I just like the fact that the emphasis for us should be about African liberation. Juneteenth Day just acknowledges the fact that these Caucasians got 2.5 more years of work free. And Caucasians, some of them left southern states and went west to Texas specifically so they can get land and continue to work our people. That's why. And to me, that shouldn't be celebrated. We should not be celebrating our Independence Day. That's me. In fact, it should be a day of mourning. Because, you know, when people do the New Year's Eve thing, they go to church. They don't go to church to pray about the next year. They go to church because when the word was out, January 1st, 1863, January 1st, because the Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation in 1862. And they said, January 1st, it will come into effect, 1863. And people were on the watch, the watchman. Soon as that clock struck 12 in the east, when it struck 12 in the central, we were free. We were free. And the brothers and the Caucasians knew it. They ran to Texas until finally the field order that General Granger read, field order number 3, was read on June 19, 1865. 2.5 more years of labor that they got out of our people. We'll talk about that on Friday. And talk about some Juneteenth Day celebrations that are happening around the country. Unfortunately, they can't happen the way they've happened because of the coronavirus. And it's understandable. And so they'll be virtual, like a lot of other things, virtual celebrations, you know. And, you know, and if they do have a gathering, of course, hopefully they'll be masked up and, you know, because believe me, this coronavirus. Oh, no, that's right. Trump said, wait till it gets warm outside and it'll all go away. He said that the other day. Trump said that shit the other day. He says, yeah, it's just going to go away. The man is a trip. He's delusional. There is no way in hell that he will win in November. And there might be some other skullduggery, some other shenanigans that could be played. Who knows? Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that the world wants and think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. But brothers and sisters, it is ours to control. Let us come into our right minds. Shemhotep means go in peace. Isante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Bibi Fahodie family, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. See you on Juneteenth Day this Friday. Peace, family.